Today, we sat down with Mike Murphy. He's a new friend to us in the coaching space, and he's a longtime business owner and coach. And we talked about all the things from the opportunity Mike sees in ads in 2021 to how fear of missing out is really hampering a lot of entrepreneurs' growth and what truly is robbing us from running a successful business. We also talked about a whole whack of positive things, such as how he likes to retain his clients, how he's serving his clients, and we got a sneak peek into his upcoming book, Thieves of Happiness. And he's including a special bonus here just for you. And let's dive in. In today's crowded business space, how do you take the mystery out of growing clients who stay long-term and refer like crazy? And what is it going to take to set you apart from your competitors? What would happen if every activity in your business was driving loyal customers who want to refer other people to you, so it's easy to fill your pipeline with more leads, book perfect fit clients on your calendar? Hey there, we're Jody and Daryl Beckert, and you're listening to the Retention and Referrals Made Simple podcast. This is the place for people who want to build their businesses organically so they can get more sales without using any sleazy or awkward tactics. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to be here. Let's dive in. All right, guys, we're back with a brand new episode. And today we're actually here with Mike Murphy. And Mike Murphy is one of our first guest podcast episodes. And so we're so glad that you're here, Mike. And we're excited to talk with Mike because Mike is from a community that we met in a different online community. And honestly, we don't actually know Mike very well. But the one thing that what I really value about the online community is that for me, it doesn't matter. I don't have to meet you on a Zoom call. I don't have to meet you in person. I really truly believe that words are power, and you can start to see your types of people in the online space. And so Mike graciously offered to be on our podcast. And so we're excited to have you, Mike, because of our shared values. So welcome here.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Why don't you tell us, Mike is a coach. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do, why do you do what you do? Essentially, tell us a little bit about your business.
Sure, absolutely. So the coaching thing has me using my greatest gifts. I run an ads agency, paid ads, mostly Facebook, a little bit of Google, a little bit of YouTube. And I ran that, so we're at the 12th year of business. So I've been through all kinds of different things. And then the part that jumped out the most at me was the coaching. So clients would come in, have their ads run, and that was great. But actually being with the people and serving the people, that was where I felt, you know, I was showing up with my best gifts, the best parts of me. And that's kind of where we're leading things nowadays.
Mm-hmm. We were talking before the show here, and it seems like the last year has been quite an interesting time to be in Facebook ads.
Yes.
But inside of that, I mean, you're still seeing some opportunity. What do you see with, and you're in your pivot towards coaching, you're seeing this opportunity that is there for the right people, sure. Despite the fact that the Facebook ad landscape has changed dramatically.
Yeah. So it's funny because we started in our little convo before the call, I likened it to running a Facebook ads agency as getting up each morning and voluntarily getting punched in the face. And it might be a little bit dramatic, but hey, who doesn't love a little drama?
Yeah, for sure.
And it is that way, right? It's like, mm-hmm. You know, I'll get on and serve clients, and you know, I have access to Facebook ad reps because of level of ad spend and that, and they won't have a clue what's going on. They're like, I wish I could help you, but I don't know what to do here. So it's presenting a whole bunch of opportunity. One, in that people that know what they're doing with Facebook ads are dropping, the ones that don't know, I should say, are dropping off like crazy. So it's leaving room and opportunity for those of us brave or dumb enough, I'm not sure which it is, to
it's usually to tough a combination it out. Of both, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. To tough it out. But the biggest thing for me that I'm noticing, and this is going back a few years, is like realizing that everybody that comes through our ads, our funnels, any sort of numeric thing, they're not a number, they're a person, right? I've always believed it like that. I've always looked at it like that. And it's proving to be more true now than ever. So we'll go to clients that are, you know, they're getting leads, and I'll say to them, I want you to know where every one of those leads are in their life as it pertains to you and how you serve them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one client was getting about 10 leads per week. And she's bummed out that, you know, that's not that many leads. I'm like, no, this is a huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. Can you look through your funnel and identify who those 10 people are? She's like, oh, absolutely. I said, okay, cool. If you're getting 150,000 a week, could you do the same? She's like, not a chance. I'm like, awesome. Let's do this. And we dug in, and by name, we would know those people.
Sure. And so Daryl and I talk about that a lot here. Well, if you want this, what are the things that you have to have in place? And we see leads as a place to, these are conversations that you can have with these leads. Do you want to speak to, like, what do you often see that is missing in that lead process that most people who want to run ads are just simply not seeing?
For sure. Yeah. The I want more leads thing. We hear that from every single person that comes in, 100% of the people. And it's almost always, I'd say it's like 99.99999% never true. So there'll be a couple things. One is that it's a symptom, right? So I want more mm-hmm. leads generally mm-hmm. means the leads they're getting aren't converting, or they're getting no leads. If you're getting no leads, yeah, you need more leads. But the ones that are getting leads, like this one client came in and she's getting leads like crazy. And I said, well, tell me your numbers. Like, if they've come in the funnel at each spot in the funnel, did they become a client? Well, I'm not really sure how many did. I'm like, okay, cool. Then we got to pick that apart and figure it out. And a lot of times it's folks coming in and they'll just be clicking on things and looking at things. And then that speaks to, you know, the offer. Are you offering something that's compelling to them, compelling enough for them to pay you for it? Or is it like, no, that's a cool download. I'd like to have that little gadget or trick or whatever. So it really takes way more than just, hey, I can get you more leads. It's having the knowledge of what's going on inside the business that is proving the magic for our clients.
Yeah, you had mentioned the opportunity that comes actually from having like that client with, you know, hey, 10 leads. Well, you get to understand 10 people.
Right.
And like dig and figure out, hey, of that 10, these are the ones that needed this. And then these are the ones who, hey, they weren't ready for our main offer, but they were ready for this.
Yeah.
You actually get to like, hey, let's promote 10 strategic conversations that actually are in service of them.
Yeah.
Which then you can scale.
Yeah. Cause that to that client, I said, okay, let's look at it like this. Those 10 people came in. How much do you actually know about those 10? Probably not that much, maybe nothing, except for that they clicked on an ad and they, you know, opted in. What if you had 10 conversations with those people and you asked, you know, very pointed questions? Where are you at? Where would you like to be? What's the gap between the two? Is that something that you need extra help with? You know, finding the actual where they're at. That's gold. It's so gold. And at 10 people, folks should be asking for like less leads. I want you to get me less leads, but better, which everybody wants. But then often it's like, you're not even really capitalizing on the opportunity to get to know that person, get on the phone with them.
Mm-hmm. Why do you really feel like they don't know what kind of conversations to have, like to fill that in? What do you often see that happens with that?
Yeah, there's a few things. Sometimes it's I think misguided information, right? Where they've seen, I won't name drop, but like this ad or that ad or this guru or that guru is like, hey, you need to be getting this many leads per week or per day or whatever. And it's almost like a little bit of FOMO or imposter syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not getting 1,000 leads a week, so I'm not doing as good as person XYZ. So it's a little bit misguided there. The other piece is we talked about this in the pre-show, is the, you know, the business you actually want to build. Mm-hmm. The business you want to build, does it need 10,000 leads per week? Or would 10 leads per week actually be better, to where you can manage it, have the conversations, serve the people, and live the life you actually want to live?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a huge conversation I think by pegging the FOMO or the playing the comparison game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'm not successful unless I am like this person's definition of success.
Right.
Not giving yourself the permission to say, well, what does success look like and mean to me?
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's often what gets a lot of business owners in trouble. It's like looking to the left, looking to the right, but what everyone else is doing, whether it's leads, ads, it doesn't really matter. All aspects of business, people are looking at what other people are doing, thinking that that is right. And it's not necessarily right for us, right?
For sure.
And so, yeah, Daryl and I love having that conversation of like building a business that you truly, truly want. But right. Like, what do you, from your experience and the clients that you've worked with, what are some of the holes? Like, what are the beliefs that people don't presently have that keep them from building that kind of business that is right for them?
Yeah, this one's so shocking because I thought the answer I'm going to give, I thought it was tied to almost income level, right? Like the problem existed at the making a few bucks online, making a few per month, maybe trying to replace their job level person. But it actually still exists at the, okay, I'm making eight figures. And I was absolutely floored. A lot of folks don't even believe that they're worthy of that or that they won't be enough until they achieve a certain level. And it's completely, I don't know if you swear or edit, but it's bullshit. It's complete BS. Your worth isn't determined by your amount of leads, your dollars, your car. I mean, we all know this. I think most of us know this. Mm-hmm. But it's still so shocking to me that you know, I see questionnaires come in. I've got my questionnaires set really specifically, and they're around things like, where are you now? Where would you like to be? And the gap in the middle, I said that earlier. And then why don't you believe that you've achieved that? And a lot of times it will be, you know, I'm not even sure if I can achieve that. And the answer is like, well, why wouldn't you be able to achieve that? So I don't really, it's cautious to like compare against other folks, but I do use comparison when it's like, well, Daryl and Jody have a great successful podcast. They're just people. They have gifts and talents and so do you. So you could probably do the same, similar, if that's what fits your lifestyle and your business and your dreams. So it's usually around some sort of limiting belief. I'm not sure if I can do this. Or what will people think of me is another giant one, which is like so frustrating because it doesn't matter what they think of you. And even I have a friend who's a founder of a very, very large web hosting company that you would have heard of. He went through a process like this and he had the same beliefs. I'm like, you make more money in an hour than I do in a year. He's like, it doesn't matter. He had the same belief structure struggles that everybody else, lots of other folks face. So I think that's just
crazy. Cause I mean, I've had the same experience, you know, ourselves as, you know, progressing and learning to drop the comparison game and be like, well, where are we trying to go? And let's just focus on where we, you know, what place are we going to be at the best to serve people? What conversations am I excited to wake up and have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just happen to get paid for them. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And focus on that. And it is the conversation everyone has, but no one wants to talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish it wasn't that way because it's so rewarding to just get past that part. And it took me forever. I'm not up here, you know, preaching like I got it all figured out. I wrote a book this year called Thieves of Happiness, and it speaks to all of these pieces. And it was a lot. Like, it was digging into like, why do so many of us think this way? Digging into them. And one of the thieves is comparison. It's the number one thief, actually. And I mean, it totally steals our joy around
completely. Yeah.
What we think is possible for us. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's truly, it's true. We like to talk about like being able to guide our decisions. We like to use the term like North Star when we're talking about when we're working with our clients, because I think that's really important. Like you being able to say that this is my North Star. This is why I wake up. This is why I make the decisions I make. So that on a Monday morning when you're feeling low or a Friday afternoon when you feel like you've been kicked in the jaw, it is what matters, and it allows you to make so much better decisions, and then you can trust those decisions. We may not have like a smile on our face, but we can trust that, you know, we're making the right decisions.
Yep.
And you're right. I think it's so hard. And Daryl and I too, like, we don't sit here today. We've been through the gamut and we're going to continue to grow in that area. But I would say the one thing is just, like you said, like, it's something that you have had to work through as well.
Yeah.
And why do you feel like, people don't work through it?
I think a lot of us focus on the outcome. Like, I'm a very outcome focused guy, first of all. My original schooling was in engineering, so I worked in that field for a whole bunch of years. And it was, you either did the thing or you didn't. The numbers worked out or they didn't work out. Which that part I'm fine with. Like, you know, if we're running a service-based business, people want their leads, they got to get their leads. But I think it doesn't work out if we're tying so much value to the outcome. As I'm thinking through, you know, who your listener is and what retention and referrals actually stands for, I think of, you know, I had this realization once. I used to go to a lot of digital marketing conferences, and I thought, and I was doing some stuff, running some stuff for a client at the time that was kind of gross and I didn't feel super great about. They're good people, but the product itself, I was like, oh man, I don't think I would be behind that. Which, when that red flag pops up, I should have just said, hey, this is not for me, and moved on, which I eventually did. But the thought was, the people I'm working with, could I walk into one of these conferences, see them in the hallway or the, you know, the room or whatever, and walk up to them, be super glad we saw each other, high fives, hugs, all that kind of stuff? Or would it be like, oh man, block your eye and kind of run the other way or duck into a separate hallway? Mm-hmm. And, you know, doing those kind of things made me think of, there's an article by Kevin Kelly called 1,000 True Fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that shifted everything for me. And it was like, okay, I want to work with these 1,000 true fans who are people that I love, who love me, who I can help them. And I'm not measured against my abilities or my talents. Actually, my book coach flagged this. He's like, you, like, speaking to any of us, you are enough, just you. Who are you without your outcomes, without your skills? Are you still awesome? Well, of course we are, right? We've got these amazing gifts and talents that we can serve people with. And sometimes it has nothing to do with the thing that we're doing. So if I am running somebody's Facebook ads, they don't always work out. Most ad campaigns flop and we have to work to make them better. And that's fine. That's all good. But in that moment, I don't become a lesser person when the ad doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think
your value is not tied to the outcome of a specific ad set.
Right. Yeah. And it's that way with clients too. Like if they're selling something, you know, I mentioned the one friend with hosting. Well, if his goal is to get, you know, 5,000 new customers this week and he gets 1,000, is he a lesser person? Of course not. Absolutely not. And it's really, I think I used to belittle my mechanical engineering brain in that way, like that it had to be so mechanical and structured. But that part actually serves, where it's like, no, I just go back to those 1,000 and go, I'd really like it to be 5,000 because I want these people to have great web service. And then just go find the thing, and to disconnect that belief system from the outcome has made it for me really peaceful, as far as like, no, I can fix that separate from who I am. I didn't just bump down a notch because they got less sales or clients or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I think we've talked about that in one of our coaching programs that, you know, we really try to get people to center themselves in who they are and why they do what they do.
Yeah.
And a lot of that even came from myself, that when I kind of looked back at every career I've had, which at this age is now several, I could actually boil down to say, well, these traits that are unique about me as a person, this is how they showed up in each of these things. And the outcome was completely different because they're totally different careers.
Yeah.
But my approach was the same because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's our unique superpower, even as a species, that we often dismiss.
Yeah.
Because, you know, man, if you can't bring home the bacon, you're less of a man, you're less of a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talked about your the process of writing a book, which you said you just submitted. What does that look, what does that look like getting to this point? And then what is, what's the release date look like?
Yeah, I would actually, I would love to hear about that. Cause I think I can see Daryl and I writing a book one day. It's like, we've been asked to write a book. So I'd love to hear about that. Tell us about it.
I loved it. And I think it was one of the most difficult and highly rewarding things I've ever done. So the rewarding part, right, was like the discovery process of realizing all these things that we're talking about, right? That like who I am as a person and how I serve people and how I show up in the world and the things that challenge it, the things that, I mean, it's called Thieves of Happiness. So it looks at all of the things that have the potential to steal our joy. So I went on, this is a funny story. I went on Amazon Amazon. And I just typed in happiness and all these books came up, hundreds of thousands of books. And I was like, okay, great. They're all around like, hey, meditate, do this, do that. They all had like these frameworks for getting more happiness. And I had had a conversation with my wife a few years ago where I was at a pretty bad spot. And I asked her, what do you want for Christmas? And she said, I just want you to be happy. And I was a little bummed out. I'm like, man, why couldn't it just be like shoes or a new iPad or something like that? Like I can swing
something
that.
I can go to Amazon and get. Yeah.
Yeah. We can just make this happen today. Right. And I'm like, oh dang. Okay. I'll have to figure that out, I guess. And then this search or this journey of like that moment that I Googled that and Amazon searched and looked into, I was like, well, I wonder, what are the things that make us unhappy? Like, what are the things, are there things that we can just learn to come around or like to just brush aside and move through. So I boiled them down to these seven thieves of happiness. And it's very, very interesting as we have conversations and, you know, talk to people about what the struggle is. I'm like, oh yeah, that's number six. And see the thieves that pop up, super common. Us little humans aren't as complex as we think we are, which is good.
Do you want to give us a sneak peek of one of those? We'll make sure that everyone has the link here if you want to go check out Mike's book, but do you want to give us a sneak peek to like maybe what's one of the thieves of joy?
Yeah. So, and I'll definitely, I'll shoot a link at the end of this. They can grab a free chapter.
Sure.
That's awesome. I was going to mention that he's got a gift for every listener, a free chapter of the book, which is super generous. That's awesome.
Yeah. And one of them, we've kind of brushed over this one already, but is the thief of comparison and self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And I had to put those two together because they always travel in packs. They travel together. And it's like, there's healthy comparison and there's unhealthy comparison, right? So if I say, man, Daryl and Jody have this amazing podcast, I could never be that cool. That's not very healthy, obviously, right? But if I was like, hey, they have this podcast and that's awesome and we could learn from each other and I would love to do that. They're doing it, so I could probably do it too. And it seems so basic, but we still do it. And it doesn't matter what level, economic or cultural or what background, people still do it. And I didn't think that would be the case. And then the self-doubt ties into that because, you know, we tie it to, well, Daryl and Jody have this podcast and I probably couldn't pull that off. I sound goofy on a microphone or whatever. And nobody cares about any of that.
No.
One of my favorite podcasters is James Altucher. He's a friggin' genius and his voice is super, super funky. Yeah. Like it's whiny and crackly and he's a brilliant, brilliant guy. So that these thieves are, I call them thieves because they're basically, they lie to us, right? They tell us things that they, like if you're a believer, you could say the enemy, right? Religious people like to use that.
Yeah.
It's the very same thing. It's things that come in to steal our joy and prevent us from being who God created us to be.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's so important because I think that's why that happens. When we don't have that North Star to guide us, those thoughts, like you're just saying, those come in so quickly. And if we don't have that something to replace it, so when those doubts come, and they will come weekly, they will come daily, they'll come yearly. Yeah, you're so right, Mike.
I get them every day.
single day, if we do not know why we do what we do, and I, I think it's just such a missed opportunity for business owners to not focus on that every day.
For sure. Yeah, we basically rob our own clients, right? We're talking retention and referrals. You can't, I don't think you can successfully retain clients for a long time if you're super stuck with one of the thieves of happiness. You will.
I'd agree with that. It's going to manifest. It's going to show up in multiple ways.
Yep.
You know, you can almost self-sabotage
sure.
yourself from those things. On that subject, I mean, you've been running an agency, and you, in the pre-show, you were talking about, you know, the length of term. You have agency clients that are with you for multiple years, which yeah. is quite abnormal for the industry. It definitely seems to be a very consumer driven industry,
right?
People hopping tactics constantly.
Yep.
Do you want to talk to that a little bit? What do you do to keep people long term?
For sure. Yeah. It's hard. I'm just going to throw that out there because I don't want to make it sound like it's just, you know, everybody stays with us forever. That's not true. But the biggest thing is like upfront. So when a person contacts and we get in contact with them, do we want to be with this person for a long time? Right. Some I thought I did. And I'm like, oh man, we got to part ways here. This is not working out. But it's really knowing who your perfect avatar is. Right. And then there's a lot around that. I've done trainings for that. I've done master classes on that. And, you know, it's all kind of guessing at the front end where it's like, who do they follow? What do they read? What podcasts do they listen to and stuff like that? That's great. That's fine. The demographic and psychographic parts are cool, but then actually keeping a live avatar running, like I know who my avatar is and I add to it all the time. Getting in conversation with them and actually really finding out. We talked in the pre-show about a client that I had that was, I went to get on a call with her. It was a sales call. And normally I would have said, hey, yeah, it's not a fit. Let's just part ways here. But I decided to stay on the call and learn more about her. And it was the best thing I did all that week because I learned way more about her. She admitted things she never would have, you know, divulged to me had we just hung up. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really, really deeply, like I desperately care. Maybe desperately is not the right word. I deeply care mm-hmm. about my clients and their life and what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. So we talk about things like it used to be very dry. I would get on, hey, what's your offer? You know, talk to me about your funnel. What's your ideal client? Bing, bang, bang. Sign them up, run their ads. That was it. Now it's shifted to like, I know where my clients, who their children are, where they're going to school, what their hopes and goals are for that child, what they're afraid of, what they're ashamed of, what they're hopeful for. Really, really deep. And it sounds so obvious to say it out loud, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it for the longest time. Mm-hmm. So now it's like less, but better, less clients, but better connection. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Staying on with them and having a good mind around, you know, the things going on in their lives too, because they can be, I can see things going on where their content will kind of trail off because we believe in that, like producing good content and amplifying that with ads. But actually knowing like, hey, Mary stopped producing Facebook Lives. What's going on over there? Go and connect and find out. Oh, Mary just found out that her parents are ill or her mother's ill or something like that. It sounds, at first I didn't do it because I thought it was nosy. But then it was like, no, I actually care about that person. Mm-hmm. So when yeah. we do the frame of like, if I met them at a conference, I could walk up, hey, how's your mom doing? And actually care about the answer, mm-hmm. right? That's been the best so far. Like I know my clients deeply. I know their hopes, goals, and dreams and challenges. And when they want to quit on themselves, I can say, hey, wait, wait, wait. I thought your dream was this over here. Yep, it is. Okay. So it still is. Right. And then I can bring them back around and say, hey, you know, we got to keep on this. We got to make sure that, you know, Allison gets to university. You got to serve your clients and I got to serve you.
Yeah. That's so good. Like you said, that would never have happened if you didn't have connection and conversations. And the end root of it is really a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think for most people are, like you said, you didn't do it for the longest time, but now you absolutely do it. And people, your clients are really noticing that. And I think for us, like what we see is like, it's, they don't want to do it. It's a lot of times it's haste. We're scared to be vulnerable, to be able to have those conversations, to say to a client from my values, hey, I actually care deeply. Like you said, I think it's even okay. Like you said, desperately care. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to say to people, like, I desperately care about you. Yeah. I deeply care about you, to have this conversation. And this is why.
Yeah.
But that takes time mm-hmm. to have those conversations. And so we can get in the way. Like all of us have been there. Haste. I did something the other day. I'm like, I said to Darrell, I broke this. And I can't say that haste wasn't a part of me chipping the butter dish, you know, so against the counter wall. So it streams from haste.
There's challenges. Awesome. There's challenges that go with it too, right? Because let's face it, you guys have a not-for-profit, but we're all still trying to get sales and make sales and feed our families and stuff. So that's kind of at the end of the equation, that we have to make sure we're charging enough to be of service of the person. So that goes back to the avatar, right? I couldn't do this for $20 a month or something like that, level performing at, right? So, and that's something that's in the works as well, is I'm always looking for different ways to make sure that folks get served and not left behind. Mm-hmm. I did a cool thing that I recommend for folks called the fivefold ministry test. Mm-hmm. And it actually, I'm not always a fan of personality tests, but this one was really cool. It actually kind of quantified how you show up for people. And mine was apostle. So basically it says an apostle is somebody who runs alongside someone else in the pursuit of that person's goals to help them fulfill their purpose and meaning. I'm like, oh man, I've never heard it said more accurately.
I love that. Cool. It'd be really great to link that. I really like,
it's a good one.
Like that philosophy. Great. We're big fans of personality tests and all the things, but I think it's another tool to get to know.
Well, to get to know yourself, but also get to understand. I mean, one of the greatest strengths of personality tests is, hey, here's why you are the way you are. Here's a container to understand yourself, which is, you know, we have teenagers. I'm watching them go through that live. You know, I feel like I really only figured myself out in my 30s. And then there's a realization like, oh, there's these other makeups. These people are wired totally different.
Sure.
And so your next bit of leverage is like, oh, that's why that person does that.
Yep.
You know, and that wasn't an insult. That was just that they process things differently.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge awareness of like, hey, the world doesn't run just the way that I think that it does.
Yeah. And there's, you know, when I keep going back to the podcast title, retention and referrals. So retention, like you want to retain the right people too, right? So there's a chapter in my book called Water Your Own Lawn. And I've got this neighbor, in case you haven't figured out, I'm totally a storyteller. Thanks, Dad. And this this neighbor, adorable older fella, and like he will lay on his lawn on his side and pluck dandelions out of the lawn with his fingers. And I drove by the one day and I'm like, oh my goodness, he's dead, right? He's laying on the lawn. And I rolled down the window. I'm like, hey, Bob, you all right? And he's like, oh yeah, goddamn dandelions or whatever. He's barking at the dandelions. I'm like, okay, cool. And that made me think, in the book, I talk about if I had offered Bob for me to come and care for his lawn, he would not be into it. Not at all. He would maybe be even slightly offended. You don't think I can care for my lawn? So if I said to him, Bob, I'm having trouble with my lawn. I'm not sure what to do. He would have run across the street and been so happy. Right. Yeah. So then we have clients that, you know, how we serve them, they might not want to be served that way at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to retain somebody like that, that everything I bring to them, like, hey, I noticed this over here. What do you say we dig into that? And they're completely not into it. That's been a huge thing for me to learn as far as retaining the right people. Making sure they're being served where they're at and how they like to be served.
Yeah. And which level of service like fulfills you.
Yeah.
Because if you're filled, then you step into it more.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that really sounds so excited. It's exciting. I'm really excited to see that chapter of your book.
It's funny.
Remind us of the title again. And we'll make sure that we have the link and everything for that for you to be able to come and see that free chapter and read it.
For sure. Yeah. It's called Thieves of Happiness is the book. Thieves of
Happiness. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. And if anyone wanted to get a hold of you or chat with you or just connect with you, what's the best place for them to do that?
I would say Facebook. I mean, I'm all over there. I am Mike Murphy on all social channels.
Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect.
That's so important to do that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's awesome. As a side note.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, today we've been talking about a lot of things. And so between ads, between conversations, between relationship, between developing your North Star. Thank you so much, Mike, for being here to chat all about the things and all the things that you've learned as an established business owner. And so we're just really grateful that you spent some time with us. Thank you for just being a part of this and helping our community. And we're just, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been awesome.
We'll talk to you guys next time.
Sounds good. Take care.
Bye.